girls had chaplobitis.
Oh, we did.
Did anybody else have the rebellious extremis? Man. I have actually gone through an entire thing of lip balm, both on my own, and because Justin Clement keeps asking for it every 5 minutes. I've been getting this the whole time.
Okay. Lip balm?
Oh, nice. Never seen it go all the way from here. Non-chaplains, chicken. I wanted to, as we go right behind you. I wanted to, before I begin tonight, I just wanted to recognize a few people that I've just been really special to YXL, special, we're just grateful for in many, many ways. I just wanted to make you aware of them. These are folks that have been very much working in the background, whether throughout many past years or working in the background this week, that you may not know how much they benefited you, but I sure know how much they benefited me and our week together. And so I just wanted to recognize them. If nothing else, it's just a personal thank you from me. But the Plaster family has been in the back there. They've been here this whole week, and they have just been wonderful service. Barry Nold is the youth pastor in Tulsa, the Tulsa group. And his wife, of course, you know, was, had the baby on Friday. They jumped in and said, we'll go. But not only that, this week they have they've served you in lots of ways. They've been helping us stay on the mountain and done many, many trips for us. They took one student down to the, Anna, took her down to Urgent Care. That was, we needed that, and I just really appreciate it. They picked up her t-shirts. They did a lot of things, and we're just very grateful. So thank you so much to the Plaster family. Robert, of course, jumped in and helped out with driving, but he has been just an encouragement to me this week in just so many subtle ways and little ways, comments here and there. He's helped driving so many different places. So I'm thankful. Thanks so much, Robert. There's also another, there's a couple that drove up this evening, drove up yesterday. Oh, no, wait, today. We drove today. That you just need to know, I've mentioned him throughout the week, and he has, O'Neill. Why so not be here today with you in front of me, with you benefiting from this great week of spiritual growth and enrichment? John Pickett, sitting over here to my left, he's the senior pastor of University Presbyterian Church in Las Cruces, and he was one of the founders, one of the stars of YXL, was PYA back in the day, and we're very grateful to John for his service over the years. I am personally, I've known John all my life, and it's just been fun. It's been fun to be a part of the student under his guidance and now working in these capacities. So, John, thank you. There are also a number of counselors here that have been with us for a very long time. There's also students that have been with us a long time. If you are a student and you have been here for 4 years, why don't you stand? Wow. Thank you, guys. These five He's brave, fine, and had to put up with me for 4 years. That's something. We're really grateful. We're excited for all five of them going into this next phase of life. And we're excited, and I've told them all as much, except Megan face to face. I wanted to tell you. But we're excited to have them back. And I want you all to know that. When you go through YXL, we are genuinely excited for your next stage of life, of where God takes you, whether that is into different school arenas, into work, into whatever capacity that is. We're very excited. But we're also very excited when you decide to want to join us in this crazy endeavor we call YXL here at Vast and Beautiful Glorietta as counsel. And so I'm planting a bug in all of your ears. We want you back. And when this isn't lip service, we really want you back because we believe in who you are, what you do, who you've become, who God's going to make you. And we want you to be able to reinvest that in the next generation, the next one up. So, counselors, we've had counselors that have been with us for at least 3 or 4 years. If you fall into that category, 3 or 4 year counselors, would you stand? These have been true friends, folks. I appreciate these three so much for what they have done and the way that I've seen them grow in the last 3 years. It's really neat. One of the benefits of coming back as a counselor is that you get to, if you think leadership training this week was intense, wait until you're sitting on the other side of the smoker, folks. It gets ramped up. But I'll tell you what, talk about exponential growth. I mean, the growth that I've seen in these three, for the last 3 years, sometimes 4 years, has been really something. And I'm privileged to have them here, so thanks to you. This evening, I read a passage from Ephesians, and I wonder if they have been done. What resurrection wasn't in there once? I didn't read that. Because that's the only word that's come out of my mouth, right? In like 7 days. The resurrection does what? It changes
everything.
Oh, come on, my guy, amen. It changes how much?
Everything.
That's right, okay. Well, one thing I wanted to do tonight, I'm going to keep it brief, because as was humored earlier, I think Justin, he did a 3-point sermon. Justin did a 2-point. Tom did a 1-point. I'm going to try for half a point. I'm going for half a point here, folks. Half point sermon. Which means I'm going to give part of it, you're going to go and give the rest. I'm going to sit there, and y'all going to be here. What I want to do tonight, I just want to remind you, I love these slideshows because the slideshow does something for you. The slideshow is fun. There's fun clips. There's fun, like, there's funny faces. You get to remember, oh, yeah, so-and-so, they got crabbled in the dance. That was nice. I was that black ninja in the woods, and what was one, you know, Princess Leia. She just kept jumping. She never came out. She was just jumping. I love slideshows. In fact, what I want to do, if you're already aware, we got one up online from a few years back, but I want to make sure we post this one, just as a way for all of us. They're fun. They're great. We get to remember what happened. Tonight, I want us to spend just a few moments together thinking back on what happened this week. Okay? So I want you to just take a quick look back. I'm not going to talk fast. I'm going to try not to talk fast. Since I talk fast, I'm going to get excited. And I've been pretty excited this whole week, so. But I want us to just remember briefly where we came from, and then I want to recognize where you are. And then what I want to do, and granted, this is all half a point, okay? All three of these things are half a point. Then what I want to do, I want to encourage you as you think about where you're going. And I hope that tonight, when you think about where you're going, kind of remember where we come, you're going to be really excited. Okay? Everybody take a little swig on the caffeinated beverage in front of you. And wrong. Okay. Let's remember where we came from. All right? Let's remember where we came from. I opened us up with 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 says a lot of things. But if I was going to summarize it, it says that Christ died. Christ died according to what Scripture said about us. And then He rose. And Paul says one pivotal word in there. What's that word? When you look at 1 Corinthians 15 and you're reading through it, you should see one word. There's one word in there that just stands out. It starts with B. But. It's all about the but. Remember? I'll say my cliches. Jesus lived with a talon view. Jesus lived with a talon view. Paul uses the but. It's all about the but. Why is it all about the but? Because before Paul says but, he is saying, if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, your faith is worthless. And we've been living a lie. Boy, wouldn't that be a downer? You just spent this whole week up here getting all, just growing and growing and growing, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, it was a lie? Then comes the butt. The butt says, Paul says, but in fact, Christ has risen from the dead. It's true. Alright? He has risen from the dead. So then we took with Justin, and we took with Tom, and began to say, okay, well, what does that mean? If this is true, and there's proof for it, then how did that affect the church? How did that affect people's witness? What do they do? It's like the Alamo, to use Tom's example. Remember the Alamo? That really caused a whole herd of people to spring up. Jesus rising from the dead became the witness. It became what caused people to spring up, to go out from 120 people to 500,000 people. 60 years. That's huge. Tom brought us there. We then began to say, well, and apply it to our lives. We're trying to think, okay, well, what does this mean to me? Whether we're looking at prayer, or we're looking at how we engage with culture, or how we live out in the church. This is true. What am I going to do? What does this just drive me to do? If it's true. Well, since it's true, it drives me to a whole lot of things. It drives me to believe that there's a hope today, and there's a hope tomorrow. Right? Because you're with me. We're going to do some amens. Give me a warm here. Amen? There's a hope today, and there's a hope tomorrow. Hope today, yeah, we'll just keep on saying it. I'm just going to roll. Amen. All right. Hope today. The hope today is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And He has left His Spirit with us. He is present with us. He is working in you. Part of that working in you is you are not bound to sin.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Can I get a witness? How's it get excited when you start deciding stupid? I think you're ready to figure that out. Hope for today. Hope for tomorrow. Okay? I hope for today. Jesus hears your prayers. He is active and working in your heart. He has been doing that this week. Hope for tomorrow. We will be with Him in paradise. And not only that, we will have new bodies, resurrected bodies, in a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. There's our tomorrow, folks. Today and tomorrow. So, there's what we just went through. some of the questions that I've kind of heard recently, just in the, you know, hearing back from your counselors, you know, talking to a few of you, one of the questions is saying, well, I don't want this to end. How do I keep this going? This has been great, but I'm afraid. Well, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you what you got this week. Okay? I want to remind you what you got this week. And I just talked about the past, what you learned this week. Let me remind you what you got this week, what you currently have on you. To do that, I'm going to have to use an illustration. Has anybody ever seen Batman? Batman! There's a couple different Batmans. There's a new one that's coming out in the movies right now, like Batman Dark Knight, and it's pretty dark, right? But he's really bad. You know, like, bad's good, but he's bad. He is just so cool. But that's kind of the new Batman. You're actually seeing the story of how Batman, like, became Batman. And but if you watch the reruns on TNT or something else, you're going to see the one from the 60s. And that one had whenever he hit somebody, it went boom. Sock. Wow. You know, come on, Robin. And then your big graphics, boom. Pow. Well, both of those, doesn't matter if he's kind of the 60s Batman or the new Batman, who's really dark and he wears this like Kevlar suit and he never smiles, and he's got a really cool toy though, because what can I think of his name? Anyways, that crazy scientist gives him that really bad Batmobile, you know, from like springs and it pew, you can fly almost. Martin Green, thank you. Martin Green.
You got to.
For me?
You got also.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. That's great. Morgan Freeman works with Batman and he's on. He really is around. He's a busy, 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 busy guy. But with Batman series, there's one key thing that Batman must have. Okay? What, aside from the, you know, the briefs on top of the outerwear and the cape and the mask, what's the key thing Batman must have with him at all times in order to foil the plans of the evil? Batmobile is good, but you don't have to have all the time. Robert Mann, sticking you on the next one. That's right. Batman must have his belt. What's on the belt? There's all kinds of stuff on that belt. That guy's got stuff coming. Like, I swear he runs out of things, and he'll pull out a new gun, or a ninja star, or, you know, like a banana. You know, that was before the fanny pack. You know, he had the water bottle in there. He had one. He had oxygen. Everything. Batman has a belt. The belt had all kinds of things on it. Why did I tell you that? Duh, Batman has a belt. You have a belt. You have a belt. You've been equipped this week. You've been equipped before this week. As Christians, as believers who've been walking with the Lord, you have a Batman belt. You know it. You wonder, okay, well, how? What are you talking about? You've been equipped as a Christian to engage and continue to grow because of your belt. You've also been equipped to engage others because of your belt. What's on the belt? Hear God's Word. He gives us prayer. He gives us fellowship with believers, which is encouragement. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we actually have things at our disposal as Christians. We think, I left it up there on the mountain. No, you didn't. You've got a belt. One of the other questions that I've heard recently is, how do I keep this going? Okay, so maybe I have some things, I have some tools. Okay, I'm going to explain a little bit more about it. Just want to throw that out there first. But how do I keep this going? And I want to go out here and just say, mountaintop experiences are great. They are, I believe they're very biblical. Jesus, it's no accident. Scripture talks repeatedly about Jesus going up on a mountain to pray. He got away. He recharged. He had time with the Father. He was in prayer. Then he went back down. You've been up on a mountain. You've been engaging, but you know you've been doing it for a purpose. You've been up here at Gloria just getting poured into. Just getting your tank filled. And you've been doing it for a purpose. You've been doing it to go down into the valley. Tom talked about the need for early Christians to get out of Jerusalem to go. Justin touched on that too. You've been equipped to go into this world with the hope of the gospel. You have a witness because you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that changes everything. Do you know that's enough? So he says, you're a Christian, what do you believe? Can't go to heaven. Jesus Christ lived on this earth, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and that changes everything. There's your witness. You have this. And you've been equipped to go. And it's exciting. It should excite you. One of the things that I was talking with Patrick about, though, is that first let me take an aside. I love being in the mountains. I happen to live in St. Louis right now. And I actually made a deal with God when I was in seminary. I made a lot of deals with God. It's pretty funny how it all turned out. I made a deal with God. I was from Seattle. I had a big afro and a beard. I drove this 1986 Camry full of stickers, a roof rack. I had two bikes tied to the top. I had my skis on top, too. It was full of everything I owned, and I drove across the country, and I'm driving across Kansas, and I'm like, oh, Lord, where are you taking me? When I was in college, I skied every weekend. In fact, a lot of years, I actually took the entire month of January off, and I just skied. There was one year I put on 50 days on the mountain, just skiing. But you know what skiing up on the mountain did for me? It renewed me. It actually, I would be up on the mountain and I'd kind of forget about things. I would focus on just enjoying the natural beauty. And it literally would kind of restored my soul in a very non-biblical soul sense of that. But I was just energized. I would get up on the mountain. My dad's the same way. My dad, John knows my dad well. My dad, we're all Norwegians in my family. So, you know, yeah, hookah. My dad has to go every Friday to just decompress. He'll go into the mountains. Sometimes he'll hike, sometimes he'll ski. It really restores him. We need to be restored. Why did I go from that tangent? Well, here's why. Because if you're asking the question tonight, you're saying, how do I keep this going? How can I continue growing and how can I keep this going? There's one answer. The church. You know what you've done this week? You know what you've participated in? You participated in community. You participated in worship. You participated in reading God's word and sitting under the teaching of the word. You have been in private and in public prayer. You have sought the Lord. You shared in the sacraments. You've shared in a physical representation of Christ's death and resurrection. You've remembered it. You've done that together. You've even shared, you've shared in small groups. So you've been very transparent with one another. And I want you to know that that's what you're designed for. That's what the church is designed for. Like what you tasted here, you tasted the church. You tasted Christ's bride. This is the bride of Christ. This is what Christ came and died for. You're his prized possession. So when you're saying, well, how do I take this with me? It's waiting at the bottom of the hill. It's waiting in the valley. Because what do you do on Sunday morning? What do you do on Sunday morning? Hopefully you're going to church, which church is, it's a place where believers are, where you're going to refresh yourself. It is the mini mountain in your life every week. You get to have a mountaintop experience every Sunday. Where you go and you pray, and you say, Lord, this is where I'm at. Would you please be with me today? Would you teach me from your word? You're in community with other believers. You're sharing the sacraments. You're sharing communion. You do it in the church. You do it together. There's a famous quote, no man is an island. And maybe it's a book you can. Well, that certainly is a quote for Christians. Because that's not how you're created. You're not created to be an island. You're created to be with people. So, the text that I read earlier was Ephesians. And I stopped short of reading a key, the last really two verses of it. I want to read them for you right now. Because this is your hope. As you leave this place, you are the church. You are the church. You are whom Christ died for. You are the church. I need an amen. I need another one. Thank you. And just because I'm Trinitarian, I need another one. Let me read this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. This is to God. And to him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay? Here's some hope, folks. You're living a mountain, but it's not staying up here. It's going with you. And it's going with you with more power than you can not only ask, you can think. I know a lot of us sat in the prayer times at night, and we thought of prayers, even if we were not able to express them verbally. But God has more power than you can ask or think. Okay, so we thought backwards on where we've been. We had the slideshow, we remembered where we come from. We talked about Justin and Tom and me and seminars and everything else and Patrick and Ryan. Ryan is, I don't know if you know this, but what Ryan is giving you this week is pure gold. Because what Ryan has done is he has tied the words that we sing to the words that we hear to the words that we pray. That's a gift. You want that. This is your hope, folks. This is my hope. That when I leave here, God's not giving up on me. I didn't leave my faith on the mountain. I had a great time. I grew a lot. And now I'm walking down into the valley with a witness on my Batman belt that I can take out and say, Jesus Christ died for me. He rose from the dead just like he said he was going to. That proves he's God and that changes everything. Would you like to hear about it? If they say no, well, that's okay. But that's witnessing. That's witnessing. And you are completely equipped to do that. And any prayer that you're taking now and you're saying, Lord, I'm going back to a hurting place. I'm going back to a very difficult situation. I have friends or family that this is difficult, Lord. I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm frightened. This was so good and that is so bad. Do you know what you take with you in that situation? I'm going to read it again. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, the power at work in you, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we take this hope and we take it seriously. Father, You have blessed us in incredible ways tonight. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for this entire week. We thank You for the way that You have opened our eyes in so many ways. That You have taught us, that You have instructed us, and Lord, how You've given us hope to return down from Glorieta to the places that we currently live, but to go there with a witness and with a hope, Lord, that You will never leave us, You'll never forsake us, and that You have the power to do far more than we can ever ask or think. You can change our hearts if they're stone, if they're stubborn. You can change our friends, You can change our family. Lord, thank You for that. That is Your grace. Would You bless us tonight? Help us to walk in Your grace. And to do so with exceeding joy. In Jesus' name, the risen Jesus, we ask these things. And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. Would you have a stand? What we're going to do now is we're going to enter into a time of communion. We're going to take the Lord's Supper again. Justin's going to come up. Patrick and Tom will as well. And what I want you to, is about to hand over to Justin. What I want you to just remember, we did this at the beginning of the week because this is a celebration and a remembrance that Jesus rose. And sometimes this is a very serious thing. But you know, do you see the table in front of you? We had a great meal. This is a celebration. It's described as the banquet table. So I hope tonight, when we partake, we can do this in celebration. And part of what we're going to do, because it's a celebration, is that we just had a great meal, and we're going to take part in the incredible meal, the meal. We're going to sing. We're going to sing during our time. Ryan's going to play. He's actually going to play a song that he wrote here right now. And so as we enter in, I'll hand it over to Justin.
You guys know by now I'm not going to use this thing for long.